Hey, I'm Scott, and I'm an American in Bangkok. You know, I just got back from Chiang Mai a day or two ago, and I wanted to talk about how I felt about Chiang Mai and about what I was doing there, how I got there, and what I think about it now versus what I was thinking about it, what I thought about it many years ago. When I first came to Thailand, Chiang Mai basically was nowhere near as popular as it is now. It was popular for people going on tours up into the mountains or up to Chiang Rai or something like that, but it was not really popular with the location-independent crowd and the backpackers and the retirees. It had yet to kick on. Now, I liked it. 20 years ago, I did like Chiang Mai, and I really liked Chiang Rai. But as I've said in several of my videos, although I like Chiang Mai, I don't have anything against the place. I wouldn't particularly want to live there. It's sort of like living in Phuket or Pattaya. It's a tourist destination. Now, you could argue that Bangkok is a tourist destination, but I think, and also you could argue that in all of those places, Phuket, Pattaya, and Chiang Mai, there are places where there are no tourists. However, you know, I don't live in the Sukhumvit area because I don't want to be around the Thais who deal with tourists all the time, nor do I want to be around a bunch of tourists or in a tourist area. And in Chiang Mai, I purposely stayed right next to the night bazaar, and I did that because it's easy to get around. It's the center of the city. You can walk and get to a lot of places. You don't have to get a tuk-tuk or a taxi or a motorbike or whatever. You can just walk. And there's a lot available. So that's what I did. I got a hotel. It was the Royal Princess Hotel, which is owned by the Dusit Hotel chain. It's actually also known as the Dusit Princess. And I looked around. I really wanted a decent hotel. I don't need a five-star hotel, but I really didn't want to stay in a guest house, which I'm not opposed to. But I didn't want to stay in a guest house, and I didn't want to stay in some shithole that you know, saved me 500 baht or 1,000 baht. I just didn't want to do that. And as I've gotten older, I've started to lean a little bit more to staying in slightly more upscale places. Now, when I was involved in boxing, I generally stayed in nothing but 4- and 5-star hotels, but I wasn't footing the bill. Now I'm footing the bill, and while I would like to stay in 5-star places sometimes, it's not always possible. Well, the Royal Princess is a 4-star hotel. It was 1,890 baht, which is just under $60 a night, and that was reasonable. Now, I could have got a place for 1,000 or 1,400 baht, and it would have been acceptable. But I've stayed at the Royal Princess before. I know that it's right in the middle of everything. It's very easy to get to. Everybody knows it. It's easy to get around. And it's a nice hotel. It's not fantastic. It's not a 5-star hotel. In fact, I think it's barely a 4-star hotel. The place is a little bit worn. You're just starting to see signs of wear. And, you know, I mean, it's a good place to stay. If you want to spend what I consider to be if you want to stay in a mid-ranged hotel, there are definitely some good deals to be found in Chiang Mai. If you look around, for $50 or $60, you can get a 4-star hotel. Maybe for $75 to $100, you can get a 5-star hotel. And, you know, it's nice to be able to stay in a clean, quiet place that's run efficiently and that has everything you need. And nowadays, I don't want to stay in a hotel that doesn't have Wi-Fi. This place had Wi-Fi. It was free. Wi-Fi in the room. I don't watch much TV anymore, so I didn't turn on the TV once. In fact, I just used my computer. But, you know, so that's what I did, is I decided to go with this Royal Princess. And I looked around, and there were some places that were a little bit more, and that were probably a little bit nicer, and there were some places a little cheaper, but it just was a good fit for me. 50-60 bucks is about what I figured I could afford. And so here's the thing. When I was going to go up there, I contemplated taking a train. Now, a train, I think it takes about 10 hours, something like that. And you can get a sleeper. However, if you don't pay for the entire room, you're going to be in the room with somebody else. Now, since I wasn't going with my wife or my kids, that means I'm going to be in the room with somebody that I don't know. And personally, that's not what I want. It's not my kind of thing. I'd rather spend time in that room with somebody that I know, as opposed to somebody who might be farting and burping and trying to talk to me at all hours of the night. I don't know. I mean, you know, or stealing from me or whatever. I just, I prefer to either be alone or to have somebody that I know in a room that I'm in. And, you know, the thing is that the train, I think it's somewhere around, for a sleeper, it's about 850 baht, maybe 800 baht, something like that. And you can get a flight on Nok Air. Now, I'm not flying Air Asia. I've sworn off of Air Asia because of their lousy service and their bad attitude. And frankly, I don't feel the need to give them any of my money. And I don't want to give any of my money to them ever again. So if I can possibly avoid it, I will never fly them again. Now, I looked at Air Asia, and I looked at their prices, which are comparable to Nok Air and Thai Smile. Now, Thai Smile is part of Thai Airways. I looked at those airlines. I also looked at Bangkok Air, and I looked at Thai Airways. The flight's only an hour, okay? You can get a ticket for anywhere from 1,000 baht to 2,700 baht each way. But the average is somewhere around 1,600 baht. And I was thinking about which airline I wanted to fly, because I have frequent flyer miles on Bangkok Air and on Thai Airways. Nok Air, I don't think they have any kind of frequent flyer package. I wasn't going to fly Air Asia. And, you know, it's nice to be able to use the miles, but that's not usually now, because of the way that the frequent flyer mile programs are set up. It's difficult to get anything really worthwhile with your miles unless you fly a hell of a lot. And I don't fly nearly as much as I used to. So I wasn't so worried about the miles, but I looked mainly at Bangkok Air, Thai Smiles, and Thai Airways. I actually thought about flying Thai Airways and going business class, because I would be more comfortable. My leg would, I'd be able to stretch out, and I wouldn't be cramped up, and because my hip starts hurting after I sit for a little while. And I figured if I'm sitting in an economy seat with somebody sitting next to me, and I'm kind of cramped up, just shoved into a little seat, my leg's going to start hurting. And I just thought, you know what? For an hour, I can deal with the pain. So I went with just flying economy. I mean, it's only an hour flight. So the Thai Airways flight was about 2,700 baht, and each way. And the Thai Smile was anywhere from about 1,600 to 2,400 baht each way. The Bangkok Air was about 1,700 baht. And the thing is that the Bangkok Air flight flew out of Suvarnabhumi, as did as did the Thai Airways flight. So if you fly Thai Air or you fly Bangkok Air, you fly out of Suvarnabhumi. If you fly Thai Smile or Nok Air, you fly out of Don Muang. So I prefer not to fly into Don Muang if I can help it. I just because Suvarnabhumi is a little closer to my house, it's easier to get to, there's less traffic, and you know, the airport is quite a bit better, in my opinion. However, it's not really a deal breaker for me. So anyway, I looked at all the flights. I decided to fly on Bangkok Air. I got the frequent flyer miles. The price was competitive. It was like 1,690 baht one way. And you know, like I said, I get to go out of Suvarnabhumi. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll take Bangkok Air. And then on the way back, I started looking at the prices. And Bangkok Air's prices were higher to come back than to fly going over. And I thought, well, then maybe I'll take Thai Smile. And I looked at that, and I don't know. I thought, you know what, if I'm not going to take one of those airlines, if I'm not going to take Thai Air, Thai Smile, or Bangkok Air, I might as well go with Nok Air, because it's cheaper. It's the cheapest one. So I got the ticket on Nok Air for, I think it was 1,590 baht, which is about 50 bucks. So for about 100 bucks, I got the ticket to go and come back to Chiang Mai. And, you know, listen, it's nice to take a train. There's a little, it's a romantic thing. It's a cool way to travel. But when you want to get somewhere and you don't want to spend a whole lot of time going back and forth, taking a train is the leisurely way. Flying is the way if you want to get somewhere quick. And, you know, I thought about staying in Chiang Mai for 3 or 4 nights. And first of all, I need to be watching my money at least a little bit. I need to keep an eye on it because I need to get this surgery on my hip. And the whole reason for me going to Chiang Mai is to, at least in this one instance, was to speak to a doctor who is an orthopedic surgeon, very well known in Chiang Mai as for doing hip replacements, knee replacements. And he's had quite a bit of experience with foreigners. So I figured, you know what, the difference in prices from Bangkok to Chiang Mai is considerable when it comes to the surgery. And there's really nothing more than the difference in overhead and the difference in just the fact that these hospitals are bending people over left and right and charging them up the yin-yang for these surgery. And the thing is that the prices are a heck of a lot better in Bangkok than they are in the U.S. and Europe. Now, I have VA benefits, and I can get the surgery done for free in the U.S., but it would mean going back and forth several times. It'd mean paying for airline tickets going back and forth. And the thing is that my hip is acts up after 15 minutes, 30 minutes of sitting down, or 10, 15 minutes of walking. Just going into the airport is tough on me now because the hip is so painful. So to go back and forth 3 times and to have to deal with that, and then my parents are older, and I'm sure they don't want to have to be watching over me night and day. They got their own things that they're doing. So I really, unless I brought my wife with me, then they would have to take care of me after surgery. And if I'm going to bring the wife, then that means I got to bring the kids, because we can't leave them behind for a couple of weeks by themselves, or just like with a neighbor or with a family friend or family member. We really don't want to do that. So that means flying all 4 of them, all 4 of us, rather, to Florida at least once, and then me going back and forth another two times. So that kind of negates the amount of savings from Chiang Mai to the U.S., doing the surgery in Chiang Mai versus doing the surgery in the U.S. It kind of negates it, plus all the time and the energy that's spent flying and being on the plane. And so I figured I'll go to Chiang Mai. I got to see the doctor. You have to go in and get the initial consultation out of the way. I had to show him my x-rays of my hip. And he did give me an examination and check my hip over and ask me how it is and how much pain there is and rate the pain. And then he moved my hip around, and basically I have no mobility in my hip, no very limited range of motion in my hip. I can't. It's very, very difficult for me to put a sock on now. And there was a time when I was very, very limber. I used to be able to do the splits. I used to be able to stand up with my back against the wall and put my leg all the way up and touch my toes to the wall. I was very, very limber. So obviously I'm older and I'm not in the kind of shape that I was when I was younger and I could do these things. But the reason that I can't put my sock on very easily is because of my hip, because I'm not able to bend my leg. So right away he knew that the hip was bad. And we went over everything about how it's not going to change my life to where I can start going and running and doing marathons and that kind of thing, because that's not what it's intended for. But it will allow me to lead a life where I can do low impact exercises and where I can live a pain-free life, which is, you know, I'd like to be able to walk. Now I walk and I'm just in, I mean, I walk for 10 minutes and I just need to sit down because it's so painful. I mean, I don't know, I'm sure there's people out there who have had hip replacement surgeries done. But you know, I guess it varies with depending on what kind of just how bad your hip is. But mine is, I'm already bone to bone, and I can feel the bones grinding in my hips sometimes. I have to be very, very careful how I stand. If I put weight on it, it's just a huge pain in the ass. So anyway, you know, I get to Chiang Mai. I've only got about 2 hours before my doctor's visit. Again, I didn't set out to go there and go, you know, paitio. I didn't want to go and go check out everything. And because, first of all, I can't walk for very long. And second of all, I just wanted to go get the doctor's visit out of the way. And as despite not really wanting to do this surgery, I know it needs to be done. I mean, you know, things that scare me are going to sleep and not waking up, and you know, like having infections set in and losing my leg. I mean, I think about things like this. I'm not thrilled about having the surgery, but I am happy to know that if I have the surgery done, there's a good chance I'll be able to live pain-free. And considering that I'm in pain from other things, from arthritis, from having the fall where I fell from the fourth floor, and just all kinds of other little niggling injuries. I want to live as pain-free as possible. So hopefully the surgery will work for me. But one thing I noticed is that Chiang Mai is a lot bigger, a lot more developed, a lot busier. There are tourists everywhere, and I didn't go out of the city, so obviously I didn't go to places where there are no tourists. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I mean, I was just in the city, but in the city there are tons of tourists and there are tons of Chinese. And let me tell you, I went out to dinner on the first night. I only stayed one night, one day, and 2 days and one night. And I had these Chinese sitting next to me at dinner, And I'm having Indian food. They're sitting at the table next to me. And this guy is like hawking, getting ready to hawk up a loogie. And it was the most disgusting thing. I'm getting ready to eat my food, and this guy's getting ready to spit, and he's, you know, making just all kinds of awful sounds, and you know, it wasn't conducive to dining, and it wasn't conducive to me keeping my appetite. Let's just say that. Fortunately, they all left. There was a big table of them, and they eventually left. Once. My main course arrived, but it wasn't very nice, and there's just a lot of Chinese there, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it seems to me it's not always a good thing either, because they've always got problems, you know. So anyway, it was certainly a quick trip, and maybe I could have stayed for another day or two, but. I personally would like to stay there. I would like to stay there a little bit longer. However, I wasn't able to. I just had to go and just get what I had to do done. Maybe I'll stay a couple days before I have the surgery done. But it was interesting, and I still like Chiang Mai, and I still can say good things about it, but it is a lot more built up. So anyway, that's all I got. Until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok di la jerk and mine.